This show is sponsored by MyOliveLeaf.biz, MyOliveLeaf.biz, and The Hurricane Report, merchandise, and more.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
I've been using hydroxychloroquine for 2 months. I take hydroxychloroquine with up to 400 milligrams of zinc. I feel fine. I don't take it every day. The protocol has been you take 3 pills. Then you take it a week later. Then you take it every 3 to 4 weeks. If you take hydroxychloroquine with zinc before you get corona, it can serve as a prophylaxis, or it can prevent you from, it can help you develop an immunity. There are other drugs that are used, like interferon. They even have a pharmaceutical that's natural from Madagascar. The disease is defeatable. Hydroxychloroquine must work because Trump says he's using it. As self-centered as Trump is and as concerned as he is about drugs, he's a germaphobe, there must be something to it for him to use it.
First of all, let me just cut to the chase why what you just heard is bullshit. Okay? No one in their right mind is going to take a drug, a dangerous drug that has significant side effects, if you're not showing any symptoms. Here's a video of Dr. Rob Davidson, who posted this video on Twitter soon after this announcement. Listen.
Hey, it's Dr. Rob here. Just heard that President Trump announced today that he has been taking hydroxychloroquine to prevent COVID-19. And if everything else we know about President Trump hasn't proven to you that he does not understand medicine or healthcare, and certainly doesn't have your best interests at heart, this statement and the fact that he's taking this drug should be everything you need to know. The FDA recently issued a warning that this should not be used outside of hospital settings because of the risk of death. We know that patients with lupus depend on hydroxychloroquine, and when President Trump was touting it in March, that they ran into shortages. Now, if someone on lupus who takes it all the time runs out of this drug, they can suffer from kidney failure and life-threatening blood clots. And so President Trump is not only putting those people at risk by touting this drug again, announcing that he's taking this drug against the advice of doctors, against his own White House doctor advice. This hurts those patients and potentially hurts other people who will start taking the drug to try to prevent it, or when they have mild symptoms that could be from COVID-19. Recently, we know there's evidence popping up that there are increased deaths with hydroxychloroquine. And we know that there is no evidence that this drug works, none. The study, quote, study out of France was completely flawed. Any data that has existed has been debunked. We want it to work. We want something that works, but we know that hydroxychloroquine isn't it. At least not yet. And the president is being reckless in his announcing that he's taking it and in taking it in the first place. We in the healthcare field need to come out with one voice against the use of this drug, against the advice of this president, knowing that he is going to put more people in harm's way. Be safe out there. Please stay home. Please observe social distancing and wear masks when you're in public. And above all, listen to healthcare experts, not the president.
Radio, DJ.
One nation, one station.
All right, guys, right now you are listening to the voice of Valerie Denise Jones. I hope and pray that you are having a fantastic day and you're preparing for better days to come. Please join me on Instagram at Valerie Denise Jones, and also Miss MS Valerie Denise Jones. Sub the pages and also hit a few like buttons, like the pictures. And if you got questions or comments for me, please meet me in my DM. All right, so based on how much time I am afforded today, I have 2 videos for you. One I know that I'm definitely going to post today, and the other within 48 hours, so please look forward to that. This first one here is from my heart because I love you guys so much. Let me repeat that. I am doing this first one because I love you so much, and I want to give you just enough information for you to make an informed decision regarding something that is so important, and that is this drug that President Trump is promoting, right? And the second video, I want to dedicate to Brother Voodoo and Mr. Ali Davis. Brother Voodoo and Mr. Ali Davis, big shout out to those guys. I appreciate them so much for staying on my ass regarding the fact that I haven't been in this neighborhood for quite some time. I often tell you guys I am a one-woman show doing it with not a lot of support. So guys, please support me. Please, please, please show up and show out so that I can get this content out and I won't have to work as hard as I do behind the scenes. Teamwork definitely makes the dream work. But anyway, guys, you know, I'm really, really excited about sharing this information with you. So let me shut up and let's just get started. And I will see you guys down in the comment section and on Instagram. Again, Instagram at Valerie Denise Jones. Okay, here we go.
I'm rewinding your message, preparing it for playback.
I've been using hydroxychloroquine for 2 months. I take hydroxychloroquine with up to 400 milligrams of zinc. I feel fine. I don't take it every day. The protocol has been you take 3 pills, then you take it a week later, then you take it every 3 to 4 weeks. If you take hydroxychloroquine with zinc before you get corona, it can serve as a prophylaxis, or it can prevent you from, it can help you develop an immunity. There are other drugs that are used, like interferon. They even have a pharmaceutical that's natural from Madagascar. The disease is defeatable. If you take it in a big dose, it can make you sick. If you take it with certain sorts of antibiotics, it can give you a heart problem. However, if you take it in a very, very small dose with zinc, if you don't have a pre-existing heart condition, you'll be all right. The Chinese are using hydroxychloroquine. The Malaysians are using hydroxychloroquine. The Senegalese and the Gambians are using hydroxychloroquine. People in India are using hydroxychloroquine. People in Turkey are using hydroxychloroquine. People in Bulgaria, in Holland, in Belgium, in Costa Rica, and other places are using hydroxychloroquine as a drug to fight corona. And folks aren't dying left and right. Let me be honest with you, it is not the hydroxychloroquine killing people. When they put people on those respirators cause people, they're doing it improperly. It's interesting that I've never seen in my adult life any drug, even a dangerous drug that destroys people's health, be vilified like this one. Norplant, that messed up black women, isn't attacked. Depo-Provera isn't attacked. Vioxx isn't attacked. All these drugs that have killed and destroyed people in the hundreds of thousands, including the opioids, are not attacked as viciously as a hydroxychloroquine. Why? Let me just say this. The people at Gilead Corporation who want you to pay $4,500 to be vaccinated, that's per shot. Understand that hydroxychloroquine can be manufactured for as little as a penny a pill. And conceivably, a person could take 16 pills or fewer and be covered for the year, which is 16 cents. If you made it 10 cents, $1.60. If they made it a dollar, for under $20, you have protection from corona. Why would they, the greedy, dirty pharmaceutical corporations, want to forego getting $4,500 a shot that you'd have to get every year when someone could undersell them at a penny? I get hydroxychloroquine and I'm on Obamacare. Mine is free. How many people's lives would be around right now who don't have pre-existing heart conditions had they been given hydroxychloroquine as a preventative in a low dose, along with zinc? Why is it they don't allow you to talk about this? If they don't like hydroxychloroquine, why not kiss and make up with the Cubans and bring in interferon? Every way in which you can treat this problem, they're checkmating, because they are basically extorting and blackmailing the whole society that we have to be vaccinated, given the disease, which is not a cure. Vaccinations do not cure. Vaccinations enhance an existing immunity. If you have no immunity and you give the person the disease, you infect them. 90% of the people in the world who have polio today were vaccinated against polio. And that polio comes directly from Bill Gates. Now, goddamn people for being so stupid. I'm so angry with the cowardly scientists and others who won't tell you one country that cares about its health that America looks up to is Israel. The Jewish folks who are very strong in medicine, they're using hydroxychloroquine. Countries that are successfully fighting it are using it. Why aren't the places where it's succeeding being discussed? Why is it only when someone gets sick and they're on multiple medicines, they only identify the hydroxychloroquine? What's up with that? That's not an honest reporting on what happened with the medical use. Why not be honest that many black people that are dying in the hospitals are not from COVID? Many white folks. Why not be honest that the hospitals get $53,000 minimum for each COVID patient that shows up that's tested positive, and for each person they put on a respirator? Why would you want them to stay home and take hydroxychloroquine for free? Hydroxychloroquine must work because Trump says he's using it. As self-centered as Trump is and as concerned as he is about drugs, he's a germaphobe, there must be something to it for him to use it. And it's interesting that the people are mad at him for talking about hydroxychloroquine.
I get a lot of tremendously positive news on the hydroxy, and I say, hey, you know the expression I've used, John? What do you have to lose? Okay, what do you have to lose?
So
I have been taking it for about a week and a half.
Every day.
At some point, every day. I take a pill every day. At some point, I'll stop. What I'd like to do is I'd like to have the cure and or the vaccine, and that'll happen, I think, very soon.
And you've had no symptoms, sir?
Zero symptoms. No, I haven't had any. No, I tested. I test every couple of days. They want to test me, you know, for obvious reasons. I mean, I am the president. So they want to test me. I don't want to be tested, but they want to test me. So every couple of days I get tested, and I've shown always negative, right? Negative. Is that the term you use for this, right? Negative. Totally negative. No symptoms, no nothing. But no, I take it because I think I hear very good things. Again, you have to go to frontline workers. Many frontline workers take it, and they seem to be doing very well.
It's interesting that the people are mad at him for talking about hydroxychloroquine. Last but not least, I'm going to remind everybody, three black men of God, Pastor Stephen Broden, Reverend Clement Childress, and yours truly, Dr. Randy Short, wrote Trump asking him to make hydroxychloroquine available so black people would not die disproportionately. I thank President Trump for taking three ordinary black people's appeal seriously. I know that would have never happened with Obama, and it certainly wouldn't happen with Biden unless we're talking about bringing some little kids over there.
Thank you, Dr. Short. I appreciate you so much. Dr. Inkey, did you want to say something?
No. I agree with a lot of what Dr. Short was saying, and I think that he even created a new perspective for me to look at, because the main problem I have with the hydroxychloroquine is there are a lot of people that are experiencing the heart problems, and after listening to him, I have to rethink and say, well, are people experiencing these issues because of the maltreatment that people are getting in the hospitals that's well documented? Is the improper dosage of hydroxychloroquine an issue? My thing with I have a couple of different viewpoints. One viewpoint is about the history of the compound, and then one is about a real actual experience that I've had. And it's unfortunate that the experience came before reports started to question the safety of the drug. So the first part is the historical part. And hydroxychloroquine is basically quinine, and that is a extract from the cinchona bark tree. Now, we in the holistic community have actually used the cinchona bark in various compounds for years with great success in terms of helping people, you know, change their health and retain their immune vitality. But what I noticed that was incredible to me, and this is just a perspective. This is just a conversation. This is not something that, you know, this is just a perspective. This is something that I noticed in what I like to call inky vision, right? So I noticed in my eccentric sometimes view of the world, I noticed that we had been in a global pandemic of opioid crisis. Like, we were in a global opioid crisis, and that was the news feed, like opioids, opioids, opioids. And me standing opioids from both sides, I know that the number one problem, side effect, risk factor associated with opioid use, whether it's heroin and lean or whether it is prescription painkillers, is that it creates respiratory illness, right? So in my mind, I'm saying, okay, so we move from a global pandemic of drug use that causes respiratory illness into a actual pandemic of respiratory illness, and then the prescription that was, you know, basically promoted to the globe was cut for heroin. And many people don't know that hydroxychloroquine, the compound quinine, is the number one cut for heroin used around the globe. So for me, that already was a little weird for me. I'm like, we just came from a global opioid pandemic, and now we have this compound associated with the use of opioids as the prescribed, you know, and then the first hand, because I had a sister that came to me. She said, you know, what do I do? My mom's got coronavirus, and she
refrain from telling that story. One second. Let me bring in Judd so the two of you could have a conversation. I appreciate that. I apologize, guys, that I gave you the abbreviated version, but the truth is we could really talk about this for the next 4 to 6 hours because there's so much to touch on. But welcome, Judd Shaw Brown, 323-646. How are you doing, sir?
All right, Miss Valerie, how are you, my dear?
Hi, we are live in studio with Dr. Inky. Dr. Inky, meet Judge Sherrill.
Wow. Hello, doctor, how are you?
I'm honored to be on the line with you.
Okay, now, go ahead. What were you going to say about that? You were talking about the Trump remedy. Go ahead.
Yes, and so I had the firsthand experience of a sister. She said, you know, she came to me. Her mom had coronavirus, but she had already checked into the hospital, and they gave her the Plaquenil, which is the commercial name for the product, and it didn't help. It didn't help at all. In fact, now she's suffering after maybe 2 weeks. You know, the coronavirus ran its course. Her constitution was strong enough to survive coronavirus, but now she's literally clinging on to life, and they're saying that she may have to have a surgery to survive from the actual side effects of the drug causing her heart to beat out of sync and stop and go and stop and go. So, and I'm saying to myself,
Arrhythmia.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what I'm saying to myself is I know that I reach a lot of people via social media, internet, and stuff like that, but as opposed to the actual medical industry, I know that my reach is infinitesimal. So I know that if she's had this experience, there's a lot of other people having this experience. And so a couple of weeks go by, and then all of a sudden, sure enough, it starts to flood the web. People having heart problems, like, and so then information starts to, then Trump kind of comes on live, and I normally support Trump. I'll be honest about that. You know, I'm not scared to be on the hot seat, but he comes out and says, oh, I've been taking it every day. And so at that point, I'm saying to myself, okay, well, he must have, that sounded like branding to me. It almost sounded like he did a plug for it, a drop. And so then I did a little looking around, and I found out he owns actually a small percentage of the French company that produces it. I think it's called Sanofi or something to that effect. And so, you know, it's just a lot of crazy stuff. So I was really appreciative of the sister to be able to bring me into the platform and just to kind of create some of these conversations, because I think if people understood the whole purpose of the compound, like, the main mechanism of action is that the plaquenil is able to boost the pH or the alkalinity in the red blood cells so that it maintains the proper shape and the ability to, carry the nutrients and the oxygen around the circulatory system. That's the main purpose of the drug. So, there were other ways to do that. In fact, we've noticed that clinically, speaking, everybody dealing with this issue has super reduced levels of glutathione. And we know that glutathione and glutathione peroxidases with the associated, with their associated biochemistry is the actual natural way that the body controls, the redox potentials or more in the simple terms, the pH in the red blood cell. So in my mind, I'm like, there are natural ways to do these things. There are alternatives. And I just think my whole perspective is that everything should be transparent. Everything should be laid out on the table so that people understand what's going on. You know, especially in a world where Dr. Sabi was, because he was telling people, one of his main claims was that by controlling your body's alkalinity, you are able to maintain your vitality and health. And here we go in the global pandemic, and they offer us a solution that is basically to boost your pH and your alkalinity. And I'm saying to myself, none of these things really add up. Why would this man be on trial for his life, and then we turn around 20 years later, 30 years later, and we have this situation here, and that's what they're offering as the solution. And they're not mentioning that there are a zillion different natural substances, like the actual cinchona tree bark, that you can use to, selenium supplements that you can use to control the same facets of the biochemistry. So it's just a lot of things that, you know, like Sister said, we can unpack and go into. So my thing is just to promote literacy in terms of, you know, how your body functions. And
okay, you know, now let me ask a question. What you're getting around to saying is essentially what is happening, or the clinical analysis of what this particular drug does, is it behaves once it gets in the system. It causes your blood cells to behave substantially like someone's cells do who has the sickle cell trait, which is a natural defense to malaria. So those people who are incompatible with the drug have these standard clinical reactions, and what you've described is one of the known dangers inherent in the drug, which is why they suggest strict medical supervision for use of the drug. It is, in fact, a drug that contains quinine. Quinine has been a long-standing treatment, but not cure for, but treatment for malaria for the last 200 years or so. The English brought it out of China again when they opened up Hong Kong and Singapore. So it's old standing. Now, what did your herbal course do to cause your daughter to heal? Who was in the clinically, what did it do? Just curious.
That's cool. The main thing was able to stimulate new cell growth. So at the time, I didn't fully understand the mechanisms, but later on when I researched it, I saw that I was able to stimulate the pools of basically all your muscles have pools of stem cells. And these can, in certain instances, and it seems to be the younger you are, the more flexible these systems are. But they can differentiate to rebuild tissue quite rapidly in certain instances. And so I was able to stimulate through a lot of aromatic amino acids. Like the compound I put together is called Momatomics. It's high in phosphorus. It's high in aromatic amino acids, and you know, basically your other vitamins and minerals, but those are the main areas that it focuses in on, and that was able to speed up the differentiation of some of these cells and rebuild her spine, her neck, and then in terms of the bones, the phosphorus is the main thing that pulls in the boron, pulls in the strontium, pulls in the calcium to rebuild the bone. So just being able to make those nutrients available to her body and then get out of the body's way. So I wouldn't let them give her like milk and chicken and kind of no hospital food. I made sure that I stayed there 24.
Essentially, you're stimulating the stem cells to come out of remission and put themselves to use. How old was she when this happened?
She was about 4 or 5 years old, yep.
Okay, all right. Now, is this something that can be duplicated in the laboratory?
Under the same circumstances, I mean, I've, you know, the circumstances are so rare that would happen. And that's
well, I mean, you need nerve regeneration is what you're essentially saying, and connective tissue regeneration. Stem cells had something to do with it. That ought to be subject to duplication in a lab. Experimentation been done in a clinical environment?
Yes. There's lots of clinical documentation on it. So,
not documentation. I'm talking about experimentation, running an analysis so that it can be published for peer review.
Yeah. That's where those are the sources that I was pulling from when I was putting the compound together. I was actually putting the compound together based on the knowledge bases that were already in existence. You know, once the medical establishment had kind of wrote us off, I was resolved to try to figure it out
and write you off.
What? Because they said she would never walk again.
Well,
so to
I mean,
that was a write-off. I was unwilling to accept that.
Got her to walk again. Why would they not beat a pathway to your door?
That's a good question. I mean, it wasn't something that was put out there. It wasn't promoted. It wasn't, you know, it was just one instance in the hospital, and they looked at it as like something that was rare. That, you know, they was like, you're very lucky, sir. This is a miracle. You're very lucky. You know, we don't know how this happened, and they kind of just left it at that, you know what I mean? But for us and our family and friends, our small circle, the conversation started there, and people locally started to be the path to my door, which eventually led to me having to leave my job and go full time into this, you know, to try to, you know, facilitate as much people as possible with the super wide variety of problems we have.
Okay. Well, you know, I'd like to see an opportunity to see formal research done on
definitely. And I would love the opportunity to come on and do that. We could go into a whole. Yeah, I'll bring on the research and.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about I'd like to see, not purposes of entertainment or advisement, just full on clinical trials run on what you're saying to see if it works. If in fact it's not just an anecdotal association between what you gave her in her restoration, but actually what you gave her does in fact under a clinical environment accomplish what you claim. That would be something that I'd like to see, because that would be of great use. And right now, There are a number of ongoing expeditions to various places on the planet, particularly to the Amazon and such areas in the tropics, to acquire wild sources of things that may have some clinical value. So there have been no formal clinical tests, in other words. Okay. Now, back to the diabetic thing. Have there been any formal clinical experiment? Is there any clinical research on the herbs, et cetera, that you are prescribing to show what impact, if any, they have on diabetes?
Yes, in fact, that's a good question, because in the book, I actually used diabetes for an example to show people how to use the other protocols. So I go step by step. Like, I show the documentation on diabetes and then magnesium. I show the documentation, clinical documentation on diabetes and vitamin D, the documentation on diabetes and glucose tolerance factor, which is a combination of chromium, vanadium, selenium, and a couple of other nutrients, and how they function in the body to facilitate glucose metabolism. We showed the regulation of mitochondrial biogenesis in response to the nutrients. So it is a plethora of
information. What would that have to do with curing somebody of diabetes type 1 or type 2, their mitochondrial circumstances? That just denotes what they're genetically disposed to suffer or not suffer.
Well, no. Each facet of your biochemistry is based on specific nutrient resources. That's kind of why, that's the whole purpose of the diet. So
determined by DNA in terms of your body's reaction to various nutrient resources.
Well, no. Type 1 diabetes is more so associated with your genes and your DNA. Type 2 diabetes is a metabolic issue. So when you're dealing with metabolic,
they found people that have 2% of the wrong kind of Neanderthalian DNA are very prone to diabetes. Mexican-Americans, some Native Americans, they are prone to type 2 diabetes. A lot of black folk who have some of those mixtures in them, they are too. So there tends to be a consistency on that. It's not the only place, but it's a common theme. That's more proclivity to type 2 diabetes.
Well, there's actually more documentation that shows that habits are more contributory than the actual line of saying that your grandfather had diabetes so that you'll have diabetes, which is where you get
that has to do with type 2. Except the People's Republic of China is offering a course that's no longer experimental. They've had the 5-year field trials. This experimentation started in the U.S. They have genetically engineered some viruses to do genetic engineering. They infect you with the virus. Then after you have been properly infected, the virus alters your gene code. And what happens is they then pump you up basically with a round of fresh stem cells, which you can get in China that you can't get here. It's not a treatment, it's a cure. 99%+ successful in all instances for either type 1 or type 2, depending upon what your diagnosis is what they do to engineer your DNA. You can get it in Hong Kong or Singapore if you've got the money, but it's not a treatment available in the West. Well, it is coming about in the West. But
I was about to say, it's making rounds, but John Q. Public can't afford that. And so going back to China...
It's just in America, the religious right has forbidden anything in terms of stem cell research purportedly because it... encourages abortion, and everybody in their limited research is basically confined to five very tired strains of stem cells that have been around for quite a long time, and they become flat, basically. So you don't get a chance to do much with them. They've been replicated too many times. Go ahead. But
are you familiar with the China study?
The what study?
The China study.
In reference to what?
Okay, so the China study is the most extensive study that they did in China on illnesses, particularly metabolic illnesses. And they show in a clinical setting over and over again that by using traditional Chinese medicine, TCM, they were able to reverse type 2 diabetes over and over again and prevent type 2 diabetes by incorporating these dietary measures before, based on looking at people who had a proclivity to develop type 2 diabetes. And traditional Chinese medicine is largely nothing but a combination of rare, bitter herbs. And so they
sell a traditional, but you don't need that in China. Now, if you're a citizen of China, you get treatment free, and they'll cure you of diabetes by using genetic engineering and a course of stem cells so that your body has something to direct your newly modified DNA code to.
Right. Hey, listen, I'm not knocking the technology hustle. I'm not knocking the technology hustle. I think it's a beautiful thing that we're beginning to enter a space where we're starting to use technology to heal people.
They can in China, and it's a routine treatment, but we aren't allowed that in the United States because the right wing has outlawed it because of their concern with abortion.
Right.
Interesting.
So in the meanwhile, we should just follow the old blueprint, which was laid out for us. You know, the herbs are for the healing of the nations, because that's what they've been using to great to success. And for anybody who's not familiar with China, since we're talking about China, just pick up the book. It's actually called The China Study. It's about nutrition and metabolism, and it does a great job of detailing how specific plants are able to affect the nutrition. And then to go to another level beyond that, in terms of antivirals, the major pharmaceutical antivirals that are produced in America are nucleoside analogs. And so what many people don't know about nucleoside analogs are that nucleoside analogs are basically extracts from the nucleosides of plants. And so the craziest thing about that is genetic modification of the food. Actually, when you hear GMO food, the part of the plants that are genetically modified are the nucleosides. So it's crazy that the nucleosides are being modified, which lowers the immunity of the people consuming it. But then when those people get sick, they're actually given prescription nucleoside analogs to actually fight off the illness, which if they were eating the natural foods in their natural state, they would have those nucleosides in the food that gives their body that boost in the immune system. And then the fiber from these plants, the diverse array of fiber, actually increases the diversity of your microbiome. And your microbiome is what actually protects the cell membranes and the mucous membranes, which is one of the major reasons that you saw the children had such a resistance to the coronavirus, because of their diversity of their microbiomes. You know, children put everything in their mouth. They touch the floor, they touch their mouth, they touch. So children have a naturally higher diversity of the microbiome, and that's what allowed the protection for the ACE2 protein up until this point. I guess the viruses are learning us as we're learning them. So there's a lot of benefit that people can get by just coming off of the canned food, the box food, the processed food, and the fast food. And being able to share this information is what really can be a game changer in a situation where we know that quarantine's being lifted. just understanding that, for instance, black people in America, we have deficiency of selenium. A lot of people don't have enough selenium in their diet. And when you find out that glutathione and glutathione peroxidase rely on selenium to operate efficiently, and this is the body's number one antioxidant, it stands to reason that if we just boost the body's ability to reproduce these compounds by putting in the proper nutrition, it's going to boost the immune function. And then when you look at the protocol that was laid out for us with the quinine or the hydroxychloroquine, and being the purpose being to boost the pH in the red blood cells, and you say to yourself, wait a minute, but glutathione and glutathione peroxidase compounds do that naturally. That's how the body system runs. You say, well, why don't we just do that? Why don't we just, you know, Brazil nuts have 497 parts per million selenium there. Dose, you know, pumpkin seeds, these are things that are rich in selenium. Outside of going to the herbal compounds where you can get things like milk thistle, which has 171 parts per million of selenium in the actual herbs. And so we've been able to put some of these things together and, like I said, help people tremendously. You know, there are specific because of the length of study and so many groundbreaking studies like the China study. Now we know that things like elderberry and cinnamon, which our, you know, our elders, our ancestors, grandmas, they told us these things help. But now we know, because of the sophistication of technology, how they help. Elderberries and cinnamon bark are high in what's called lectins. When you consume lectins in your diet, the lectins actually act as a secondary source of antibodies. So while we're looking at trying to figure out synthetic means of doing this, nature has already provided us one that we're overlooking. So the people that are listening, you guys can open up another window and look up, just type in your Google search bar, lectins as antibodies, and you'll see that lectins act as a secondary source of antibodies. This is coming literally right from the flesh of the plant. So when we talk about nucleoside analogs as antivirals, when we talk about the fiber of the plants boosting the microbiome, we talk about...
Hold on 1 second. How can lectin act as an antibody? Tell me that.
All you got to do is just look it up, because the lectins are actually...
I'm real up on it, but explain to me the technical basis for your claim that lectin can act as an antibody.
And also, guys, we have eight more minutes before the second hour, so I just want to let you guys know that we got eight more minutes for this conversation.
Fine. An antibody is manufactured as a result of exposure to a pathogen. That's the virus's problem. How to get out of a body it's invaded and fed off of, and use the body cells to replicate before the antibodies kill it. The antibodies are manufactured by the organism that is infected. If it doesn't get out, the organism's own defenses will kill it off. And if it stays in too long and doesn't get killed off, then the body dies and rots, and the virus rots with the body. So it needs to get out. But how in the world does lectin act as an antibody, when an antibody is something that
I know how sometimes
organism response to a viral infection. Now, how does lectin serve function? Explain that to me, please.
Because lectins, when we consume them, they're able to go into the bloodstream and they attach to the cell membrane and the mucous membrane, and they serve as a buffer. The virus.
That's not what the definition of an antibody is. But go ahead.
No. Oh, listen, there's plenty of clinical documentation on it. That's why I said I'd be glad to spend more time with some of these stuff.
Formal clinical experimentation or trials that have determined that lectin functions per se is an antibody. An antibody is a living organism's immune system responding to something, and lectin is not going to stand in and do that. That would have been very interesting for all of these immune deficient people who suffered from HIV going into AIDS. But interesting thing.
Right. So, well, here's the question. I know we're in the middle of the show, and I know some people are going to hear this, and I'm sure now that it's been introduced to you. What do we? The question is not necessarily to stay in the box, but what if now that you look it up, we find out that lectins do act as a secondary source of antibodies for the body. Will that then open up your mind to maybe looking at plants in a little bit more of a different way in terms of their ability to help the body fight off illness?
The primary source of a lot of things that do have medicinal purposes. That's why you need to tell your doctor if you're taking some, because herbal supplements can interact with formal medication and produce some nasty results. But the thing about genetically engineering food, that's just sort of a shortcut, because there's no food, basically, that is a major staple for humanity that has not been modified through the course of just the agricultural process, selection for various plants for various aspects, like corn. Corn has been long bred to be like it is now, and most other things that we eat aren't the way they started off before we tampered with them with agriculture. So,
but I think there's a difference, though.
Certain mutations that we find favorable, and then selecting them as though an environment is doing. So when you can engineer the things in a lab, all you're doing is that same process of when you go out and, navel oranges, they have no seeds. They can't grow by themselves. We selected some mutants and did some things with them. And now you've got seedless oranges or seedless watermelons or seedless grapes.
But you do know that there's a difference between natural hybridization and breeding practices as opposed to genetic modification in a laboratory.
Well, I mean, genetic modification in a laboratory is more structured, but it is what it is. When you find an orange tree 1,500 years ago, and it didn't have any seeds, and you said, let me see if I can do something about taking some branches with these characteristics and grafting them on an ordinary orange tree and see what I get. Same thing with grapes, seedless grapes. Same thing with watermelon. Just selecting for characteristics that occur naturally as mutations.
Correct. So, but some of those clinical, like for instance, you talked about the grape. The grape seed has been known to be antifungal and antiviral. Separating that seed from the grape actually removes, in an example of the conversation we're having, it actually removes some of the very potent immune stimulating function from the grape.
Well, speaking of that white blush on all grapes, that is a fungus.
Right, so that's my point. So wouldn't it be great if the inside of the grape counteracted the outside of the grape?
Well, yeah, but the deal is that's how you get wine, and that's what Louis Pasteur made his money off of, is he came up with a way of assuring wineries that they would get the right form of yeast off of the grapes to make the wine that they thought they were going to get. It's an interesting process.
Yes, and you know what's funny about Louis Pasteur? Do you remember his quote in regards to his discovery to antibiotics?
When did
Louis Pasteur introduce it? And then that'll be the last thing
to get your contact
information. Tell us what he said, please.
That's a concept.
I mean Alexander Fleming. Excuse me, Alexander Fleming. Yeah.
So what did he say about antibiotics?
Well, he said that antibiotics would only actually produce super strains of bacteria that were more dangerous, so we needed to focus on natural ways of healing the body as opposed to using the antibiotics. And to date, everything that we've used antibiotics on has developed stronger strains and become antibiotic resistant.
Yeah, it does. But what's penicillin other than just moldy bread? In fact, you can make a mild form of penicillin by giving somebody moldy bread as long as it's white bread. You need that kind. The other kind, rye bread and all that, it doesn't work. But moldy bread will give you a mild penicillin, and it used to work, but it doesn't anymore
because the bacteria are becoming resistant.
Yeah, that's right. They modify themselves. They mutate.
So, right. Well, here's the thing. They mutate because they reproduce at a much faster rate. So the thing with bacteria, and the smaller organisms get, the faster they replicate. The faster they replicate, the faster they can create an immunity to a given substance. The plants, because they're not mobile, the plant's biochemistry has to be faster than the bacteria and the pathogens so that the plants can protect themselves because they're vulnerable. So the plants, in their biochemistry, they produce chemical compounds to counteract all of the bacteria and viruses that they're exposed to. And when we harness the plant in their natural form, we're able to use that biochemistry to enhance ours and fight off the bacteria and the microorganisms.
Fascinating.
All right, guys. On that note, I appreciate you so much. We're definitely going to have to do a part
combo.
Two.
Great combo.
We're definitely going to have to do a part two. I always ask this. This is a very, it's almost become a signature of sorts. What do you, Dr. Inky, want our listening audience to get out of the first half? And also, can you please share your social media with us?
All right, so Dr. Inky, E-N-Q-I. I know when people hear Inky, they think I-N-K-Y. It's pronounced that way, but it's spelled E-N-Q-I, so you can find me on YouTube and on Instagram. I'm not really on Facebook or Twitter. I'm mostly on Instagram. But just my whole thing is, my thing that I like to promote is, like I said, biochemical literacy, meaning I want people to know exactly how their body functions. Every single facet of your body relies on a series of nutrients in order for it to function. And once we really learn that, we can affect some change. For instance, specific immunoglobulins, when we talk about antibodies, there are certain immunoglobulins that are stimulated upward and downward by specific herbs, right? So just knowing that allows us to be able to modulate our immune system so that when it's overstimulated, like in the case of many people with coronavirus, because it is the overstimulation of the immune response to the lungs that's causing the flooding, which gives people the, you know, the ARDS or full-on pneumonia that then leads to hypoxia and sepsis and other complications. So just being able to regulate some of those things in our kitchens, you know, by eating certain things like ginger and red onions and just certain things that have these compounds in them that are being harnessed by the pharmaceutical industry and converted into medications that in many people's situations they don't have access to or readily access to. And you know, just some of the transparency, that's my thing. I just want people to create some conversations. I think the dialogue has been great. To stimulate people's research, you know, specifically around lectins and antibodies, you know what I mean, and some other stuff. So it's been a great convo. I really appreciate the judge for entertaining me, you know what I'm saying, for an hour, you know what I mean? So, and I appreciate you guys for bringing me on. Shout out Knowledge and the whole family, Judah Priest and everybody. So I just want people to just create some more stimulating conversation and really get some information, because some of these things can be used to help people prepare to go out, you know, to go out into the world as the quarantine is being lifted. Because the quarantine is being lifted, but coronavirus is not. So coronavirus is still waiting for you at Target. It's still waiting for you at Walmart.
My goodness.
You know what I mean? So
That's funny, not funny. I'm sorry. but I appreciate you so much. I hope that you hang out with us because we're getting ready to talk about Joe Biden.
I would love
to have you hang on. Yeah, that would be great.
Mr. Messy
Thank
Joe
you.
Biden himself.
Yes. So big shout out to you.
Did you enjoy this audio? We sure hope you did. Today's show is sponsored by My Olive Leaf. Please visit myoliveleaf.biz to shop for olive leaf extracts, which will assist your efforts to transform your life, detox your body, increase your energy, get restful sleep, and rid your body of antiviral, antibacterial, and antifungal properties. Do not delay. Contact the MOL reps today. Please visit myoliveleaf.biz for their full line of olive leaf extracts and moringa products. Oh yeah, for those of you who would like a personal consultation, please call the MOL reps at 612-567-3263. Also visit their website and social media pages for the latest on sales, new releases, and more. Have a great day. See you in the comments section.
The Hurricane Report. Go to our website, h-report.news. Go to h-report.news. Take action.
The Hurricane Report. Write it. Take action. Maintain freedom.
Buy their gear. Socks, mugs, hoodies, leggings. They got all kind of stuff, right? The Hurricane.